past year, and I think of our hopes and our dreams, even as is sometimes reflected in the Christmas season. But more importantly, in bigger picture, what do we hope will be different for the next year? You have an insert in your bulletin, and I'm going to ask that that insert, which has a lot of space on it, and I get that, if there's a child near you, would you make sure that that child has that insert? Because we're going to want them to kind of follow along with us, and they have hopefully a writing instrument or something that they can use to illustrate or to draw a picture related to each of the points that we're going to talk about this morning, just to make sure that we're involving our children in our services. And if you're an older child and you define the age to that and you like drawing pictures and you like illustrating, you can certainly do this as well. And if you've given up your insert for a child, then on the front of your bulletin, there's the acronym HOPE that you can take notes just using that there as well. But this morning, I'd like for us to begin by looking at a verse. The verse is at the top of the insert. The verse is on the screen in front of you. The verse is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And it says this: "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." If you read that verse and you think of this year, this new year, and looking ahead to next year, what does that incite within you? Well, when you think about it for a minute, you think, well, you know, there's something about that makes me very hopeful and sort of inspires within me a sense of anticipation. But I think for some, it says, I don't know. Because maybe there's a sense of fear or a sense of reluctance. I don't know what God has in store, but I just wish I knew. I like a little more definition in my life. Maybe there's some that are here this morning that say, I just want things to stay the same. I just want things are kind of stable and predictable and level. And, you know, just, I don't want my boat rocked too much. Well, I think most of us would agree that there are no such guarantees. But there is this guarantee: something in your life this year will change. We can count on it. You think, well, I don't know. Just think of last year. I'm sure we can all identify 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things in our life that have changed in 2017. Why will 2018 be any different? And some of those are desired, anticipated, predictable. Sorry, there's probably going to be several of these during this time. Are predictable, like maybe there's a graduation upcoming, maybe anticipation of retirement, maybe a milestone birthday, maybe a reunion that's coming up this year, maybe a wedding in your family. Maybe there's been the foundation of some new friendships and new relationships that they're anticipating this next year is going to grow and foster even more. Again, we like to think of good things that are anticipated and predictable. And okay, there's those things that we want to change, those things we anticipate. And yet there are those changes you cannot predict. Not all negative. Probably most of us can think of things this last year that have changed in our lives that we couldn't have predicted. God's blessings and God's obvious hand in our lives in good ways that we can say, well, I'm just so thankful for. And we had a time in our worship to be able to do just that. Those didn't just come out of the blue. The scripture says that those are things that God has prepared for those who love him. But also with that guarantee of change comes changes that maybe are going to be unexpected, even undesirable, maybe even unwanted. And if we're honest, maybe don't feel like we deserve. Maybe they're going to discourage us. You see, it's not just obvious blessings in what all that God prepares for those who love him, but it's even the struggles, even the difficulties, even the tribulations and trials that aren't without purpose, but designed and allowed by God to grow and mature us. His plans and purposes for us are never wasted. Our faith is to be built. Our dependence upon him is to be not only increased, and sometimes put to the test is the vibrancy and the solidarity of our hope. Our hope. In the context of Paul's writing this verse to Corinthian believers that we just looked at, he says this. He says it's in the context of there's the wisdom of the age and the rulers of the age that do not have wisdom from God. And he says, do not pay attention to them. They don't have the word of God. They don't have the indwelling spirit of God. The hidden and secret wisdom of God can be known, but they don't have it. So there are all kinds of folks out there that are trying to instill hope, and yet we realize that hope has almost become a cheap word. It's almost become a castaway word. It's become something that we just say, well, yeah, you said, but obviously it didn't happen. This guarantee of change for 2018, here's the question. In light of all that God has done over this past year and is preparing to do in our lives in the coming year, are you brimming with hope? If not, why not? Now, again, I know you first say, but Dave, you wouldn't even ask that question if you were on social media. Because there's not a lot of hope out there. Everybody's writing about it. Are you paying attention to the headlines? Are you being real with us? There's so much skepticism and pessimism, and are you not aware of that? Well, some of you may be even here this morning, and it's New Year's Eve, and you're always hopeful on New Year's Eve. You're always hopeful even on New Year's Day. But it doesn't take long before that dissipates. And you're kind of back in that hopeless scenario. So this morning, I'd like for us just to remind ourselves as believers in Jesus Christ using the acronym HOPE, H-O-P-E. And let these four words that we'll use just help us to restore, kind of bring back hope from the empty promises and cheerleading sessions that go on in our culture about this word. And let's anchor them specifically to the perspectives from God and his word and his promises. Now, the word hope has contexts and attributes used freely and unapologetically throughout the scriptures. Particularly this morning, we'll look at some key words and key scriptures from the New Testament. And it's not just for our time together here, but it's words that and descriptives that are used throughout the New Testament that are good for any season, but certainly as we come together on this New Year's Sunday. These are words that speak specifically to followers of Jesus Christ. I think it's just important that we say that. It's on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. It's his word. It's his truth that our hope is sourced. We've sung about that throughout most of our worship songs this morning. If you haven't placed your faith in the work of Jesus Christ for you, what a great way to start the new year, to experience the confident hope that the scriptures promise for every believer. Now, in this acronym, I've also attached a verse. One of the downsides of talking topically is proof texting. You find a verse that matches what you're trying to say. But I want to say that I just wanted to give one verse for our time this morning that connected up with each of these attributes, so that we would at least see it in the scripture, but I'm telling you, it is replete throughout the New Testament. Each one of these words and the descriptions of them and the affirmations of them is in many other places, but again, for our time this morning, we'll just use the one. So four hope-filled attributes that must frame our sights and solidify our resolve. If we're to walk into 2018 with a genuine hope, brimming with confidence in light of the world that is ever-changing, in light of a culture that can leave even the most confident rattled, often confused. So we start with H. I'm guessing that most of you, trying to figure this out ahead of time, what words is he going to use, probably figured H was heaven. We cannot disassociate hope from heaven. We've sung about it in our worship times this morning already. Paul tells the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, before the verse that's on the screen, let me just say he wrote this. He says, many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly with minds set on earthly things. That's all they see. That's all they can comprehend. That's all they embrace. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Believers in Jesus Christ are identified as citizens of heaven. Our life is on a different trajectory. We're reborn from above. We care about our world. We submit ourselves to governmental authority, but we live not for this world. We live for that which is eternal, not temporal. Jesus says we're in the world, but not of the world. Throughout the New Testament, this promise of eternal life, 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can be also. John chapter 14. Revelation gives this great worship scene in chapters 4, 5, and 6 at the very throne room of heaven. The descriptions at the end of Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth, a place of beauty and wholeness and sinlessness and worship and joy. We're citizens of heaven. But so often, that is identified as our destination. And it is. This week, we will celebrate the life of Dwight Slater. We will celebrate the life of Ruth Long. And I'm telling you, anybody that has lost loved ones over this year, and they're believers in Jesus Christ, the topic and the reality of heaven comes up and is anchored and is affirmed and is celebrated. So it's rightly so that it's fit as our destination. But hope of heaven is not just for the dying. It's for the living. We are right now citizens of heaven. We keep looking up. We keep looking forward. Not out and around to get all down and depressed over what we see and experience and hear. God is our Lord, our Master. Nothing is happening in us or to us apart from his sovereign plans and purposes. He is the King, and we are the subjects of his kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. It's all about his kingdom, his glory that permeates everything we are, and his agenda that transcends any humanistic worldview of our day. Our hope for heaven assumes that we're its citizens. So in heaven is my citizenship and God's kingdom is my passion. Then the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We sing, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My head isn't in the sand. It's that my eyes are focused on that which matters for eternity. Our chief desire is to follow the King. So citizens of heaven, I'm subject to the values of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our hope is in him. It's unlike anything this world can offer in terms of hope. Heaven. Wow, there's three more. Here we go. They'll go a little faster. Oh, opportunities. Opportunities. And again, if you're making some sketches on your sheets or doing some artistry, the idea of an open door, opportunities. It was to the Ephesian believers that Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. In other words, persevere, pray for each other, and also for me. Pray that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. How does Paul see himself in prison? He see himself under the circumstances? Does he see himself as, again, if I was the Apostle Paul, again, I just try to imagine, I'd say, God, you know, hey, you know, I'm good with this prison thing for right now, but you know, have you forgotten about about the churches that have been planted under my auspices? Have you forgotten kind of about the people that came to faith in Christ because we preached the gospel? Have you sort of like, you know, I'm in prison. Is this really? Paul says this. Pray. I proclaim the mystery of the gospel. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Pray that I will what? Boldly proclaim while I'm here in chains. Paul's desire is to be faithful to his calling as ambassador of Christ. It was his calling to proclaim it, but within the context in which God had called him for that time in his life. And at that time in his life, it was in prison. You see, it's not just about good luck or bad luck. It's not about being at the right time or at the wrong time, as the case may be. But open doors of opportunity are what God prepares for us to witness, to serve, to parent, to encourage, for the glory of one who opened up that door of opportunity, even when it means difficulty. Hope embraces opportunities within even the most negative of circumstances. So hope doesn't wait until the circumstances are ideal or according to our preferences or expectation. Hope invites a believer into open doors of opportunity given by God. These are the ones that God has opened, 1 Corinthians 2:9. And then trust God to use them. Opportunities are going to come our way this year that are unannounced and unexpected. And here's the question. What will you do with them? What will you do with them? Will you be the hands and the heart and the witness of Christ? These are opportunities that he orchestrates, prepared for those who love him. Maybe there's some opportunities that are inviting you to walk toward them, and you've just sort of been reluctant. You've kind of like stood back, and you've said, well, maybe when I get a little more courage, maybe when I feel a little more, you know, like that's the right thing. Maybe this is the year, that opportunity that is there to serve, to minister within our church, within your family, with others in your workplace, in your community, in your church community. There's so many opportunities that are right before us. And are we like the Apostle Paul? Do we just say, pray that we will take advantage of each of those opportunities and bring the hope of Christ into that situation and that circumstances? Paul says, pray that I won't be silent. Pray that I will be bold and fulfill my calling. Being a believer in the first century typically meant a life of hardship and suffering, pushback on every level from the government, from the religious culture. Consistent call of the New Testament for New Testament believers was this. We sang about it already. Stand firm. Anchor your life. Hold on. Stay true. In light of our hope in Christ, we must persevere. Persevere. There's a symbol here you'll see of a person on a hill and a person that's reaching for somebody else, and the idea is to grab and hold on. I was at a Christmas Eve service in Chicago, and the pastor was giving the message, and he said, here's the picture I want you to see. And he showed this picture of this strong, very strong and a very graphic hand coming from God, the hand of God, reaching down. And he says, so I'm asking you to reach up and grab the hand of God. He was trying to help them to see that the need for Christ in their life and that God was reaching down in his love and his affirmation. And now it was your chance to hold on, to grab on. And my encouragement to us this morning is not just to grab on. If we haven't expressed our faith in Christ, that's absolutely essential. But for those of us that are holding on, don't lose our grip. Because his grip, listen to this, Romans chapter 8. Paul says, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has extended his strong, outstretched hand of love to us. And he's given us the gospel, and he's given us his truth, and he's given us so many reasons to be filled with hope. And we're asked to hang on, Hold on. Stay strong. The realities of life are not easy. And this idea of persevering hope is not casual, feeling good, hopeful. It's about tenacity. It's about resolve. It's about fortitude. And the New Testament believers were consistently called to that kind of perseverance. And so are we. Think of all that's going on in our culture, all the messages of our culture, the invitations of our culture. Will we cling to Jesus? Will we cling to his word? Will we cling to his truth? Will we ensure our hope is in him? Keeping our hope strong and alive and deeply rooted in the promises of God and the provisions of Jesus. This week, I've been reviewing a little bit the book of Hebrews. And if you know anything about Hebrews, you don't just kind of do a quick review. But as I was trying to get a sense of the overview of the book of Hebrews and the message of the book of Hebrews, we're going to study that in our men's Bible study starting in a couple weeks. I came to Hebrews 10, and I want to just read a couple verses. So the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, "So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Don't throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed." Perseverance. E. Expectation. Expectation. The picture that is in front of you is a picture of a breakthrough wall. It's a wall that seemingly, if you look at it, it's indestructible. It's impossible. It's improbable. There's not gonna breakthrough possible. But here is what Paul says to the church at Philippi, and God's word says to us today. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Expectation. When we consider what it is that we would like God to do in and through us for 2018, maybe it's a question you don't even ask yourself. It's like, I just want to kind of just go along and kind of make it. Well, I hope you're asking a little deeper questions than that, a little more challenging questions than that. But if we're asking, what is it that God wants to, you would like, love to see God do in and through us into 2018, it's essential that we understand it's not about us. It's certainly our passions and our desires and our goals are rewardable, and certainly we want to affirm that. That's a good thing. But it's always subject to his power that is at work both in and through us, all for his glory. I think we're aware as parents that we can do everything right for our kids. We can be we've followed all the guidelines. We've done all the things that we've known to do to invest in the lives of our kids. But apart from the work of the Spirit of God, that our kids, there's really no guarantees apart from the work of God's Spirit. I think we know that as we're trying to influence and impact others in the body of Christ, our fellow believers, that sometimes we want to be faithful in what God's called us to do, but we are trusting that God's going to, through his Spirit, work in us and through us in their lives, because it's only his power that really does the work in changing the hearts and lives of men and women. I think for those of us that have people in our lives that we are so passionate that they come to faith in Christ, we have done our very best to help them to understand the truth of the gospel, and we've shared it faithfully, and maybe we haven't. Maybe that's our goal for 2018. But we also understand that in our sharing of the gospel and our passion for others to know the truth, that we know that it is the Spirit of God that convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. He works in us and through us. And so what is our expectation? Is there expectation that, well, if God would just do this, then, well, God may, but God desires to work through you to keep your hope strong and vital. Part of the expectation of hope is not that we just desire or even expect to be accomplished through us, but it's also what he does, not just through us, but what he does in us. Notice what the text says. It says, It says, according to the power at work within us. It's his power that works in us to impact others, but it's also his power that works within us. I wonder if we can have the same confident hope in the midst of struggle, of the unexpected and the unwelcome changes. Hope reminds us that God is at work, not just through us, but God is at work in us. And his power is on display when we come with, when we remain confident and secure in our hope, even when life deals what we would see potentially as a raw deal. But actually, it's a part of what God has prepared for those who love him. God's power at work within us. What do we expect of God? Hope reminds us that we fully expect to experience his power at work within us in ways beyond what we could ever ask or think, for his glory from generation to generation. So 2018, ready or not, here it comes. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Guarantee this year, there's going to be change. Guarantee this year that there's going to be opportunities to secure our hope. And hope can become that rock solid affirmation of our life if we frame up every experience, wanted, unwanted, expected, unexpected, with this: heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is an opportunity that has been prepared and provided by the sovereign hand of God. That God calls us to persevere, to stay anchored to the solid rock of Christ and his word and his truth. And that in the midst of all that God has for us, there's the expectation that he could do more with this situation than I could ever ask or ever think or ever imagine, not just in another's life, but within me. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that as we enter into this year, we would enter in with just an overwhelming sense of confidence, not in ourselves, but in you, our solid rock. Lord, there isn't anything happens that's going to happen in our lives that isn't a part of your perfect sovereign plan for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep our hope secure, our hope anchored, keep heaven in view, keep opportunities, Lord, as a part of what you have designed for us. Help us to persevere and expect that you are going to do abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.